You're listening to the Yes, I'm Still Sober podcast with John Rabin. And we're doing it again. Here we are again. It's the Yes, I'm Still Sober podcast. I'm John Rabin. Good to hear from you, or good that you're hearing from me, I guess. Thanks for joining me. It's the last podcast episode of the year, according to the calendar. So I guess, relatively speaking, it's the last one. And this will not be a year-in-review episode. We will not be reminiscing over the past 12 months. I'm not going to go through each month in order and go, let's look at the highs and lows of 2020 or any of that shit. That is thematically something that you will see a lot because it's easy. It's easy to do when you have a lack of ideas for shows and for different, let's do a best of episode. Let's do a year in review episode. Let's do a compilation so I can continue to enjoy my vacation, but give my base some content. But it's just rehashed old shit that some low-level employee of mine put together. So it's like we put out a new episode, but really it's not. Nothing like that. We're not going to do anything. Although, if you want something like that, there is something on Netflix called Death to 2020, which is getting terrible reviews from publications and websites that don't matter. Specifically, let's see. The Onion AV Club called it an unnecessary summary of a miserable year, but they gave it they reviewed it a B minus. So it's a year in review that got a B minus from the Onion, from the AV clubs. That's kind of snobby. So, I mean, that enough should make you go, well, I'll watch it. But like IndieWire called it an unfunny recap of the year from hell, and Decider called it a not so funny comedy special, and Vulture calls it failure of imagination, which is my review of Vulture. My review is I thought it was fine and it made me laugh. Death to 2020 on Netflix is made by Charlie Brooker, who you may know as the creator and writer of Black Mirror and all that stuff. I know him as the guy that creates the Newswipes specials because I'm a huge fan of British comedy. And he would put together these year in review stuff with a collaboration of different people and put them out. And they're really great. And it's real dry, subtle. A lot of it's subtle, but it's very dry humor and deadpan. And it's fantastic. But the thing is, the news wipes that Charlie Brooker would do, and you can find them on YouTube, by the way, if you do a YouTube search of a news wipe, all one word, Charlie Brooker, B-R-O-O-K-E-R, you can find clips and like full episodes, and it's just fantastic. He hosts those, narrates them, and like he's presenting them to you. This particular thing for Netflix, I think because it's for an American audience, for trying to make for a wider audience, he's not hosting it. He's not in it, which is, in my opinion, why, you know, because I give it like a B. Like I enjoyed it, but it could have been better had he done it. It just, you know, when you try to appeal to more people, it's not as good, I guess. But Lawrence Fishburne is the narrator. Samuel Jackson is in it, and other people. And it's I found it entertaining. If you're not into British humor and into that kind of dry humor, you won't like it. Also, if you don't find anything remotely humorous about this year, you're not going to like it, but you're probably not looking for a year in review fucking show or special. Well, I don't know why you would want to. If unless you wanted it kind of a to go, oh, I forgot that shit happened. Because so much happened that you completely forgot about all the little things that went on. Like, holy fuck, it did take Tom Hanks getting the coronavirus to actually get news. For the news to actually pay attention, you know, that kind of thing. So that's what I would do. You can avoid most year in review things, but I would watch that just because you have Netflix, you don't have anything to watch, and it's fine. It's people have overreacted. This is overreaction weekend for new releases. You know, so many people trashing Wonder Woman 1984 online. And the thing about it is that it's, I guess it depends on your expectations. Because everybody that I follow that I have aligned my taste with, that I'm like, no, that they've got pretty good, all their reviews is, it's not great, but you know, it's whatever. And I think it's a whole disappointing because the first movie was so good, they say. But it's just the overreaction of like, this is a piece of shit. Is it a piece of shit? Or is it just not as great as they promoted it to be? Or as your expectation? If you lower your expectation, then it's going to be fine. That's regardless. What did I think of Wonder? I don't watch DC fucking movies. That's my review. Don't watch DC movies. Is Christopher Nolan making it? No? Then you probably shouldn't watch it. It's probably shitty. Or not shitty, but just not great. No, you know, there are some movies that I don't think so. I don't know. I don't think there are DC movies that are any good. But that's just me. That's fine. So no, I'm not going to do a year in review thing. I definitely recommend watching Death to 2020 if you like that sort of thing. So that, you know, now that I've spent 33% of the podcast talking about a thing that I'm not going to do, but I did recommend something. So that's good. I had a good holidays. I hope your holidays were fine. We had a very low-key Christmas, my wife and I, because we, you know, just got married a month ago. So it was like, let's look at our budget. Hey, low-key Christmas. We're getting maybe one or two gifts each. That's it. You know, that kind of a thing. It was very just like, hey, all right. Their budget, you know, we decided to play it down a little bit. The dog and the cats got way more presents, toys and stuff and treats, and they were all about it. We actually got video of them all playing with toys at the same time, which is crazy to coordinate that. I'm sure it's easier to do with children, but trying to get two cats and a dog to coordinate doing anything is nearly impossible, but we were able to do it, and my wife got it on video, which is crazy. I'm not going to post it because, you know, that's for us. Also, I don't know how that works. I don't know how to transfer video from my wife's phone to mine just so I can put it on Instagram for 75 people who don't care. Three of you might. You know what? If I get more than five people request it, I'll consider it. No, that's not what I'm going to do at all. All right. I hope you guys are keeping yourselves sane and sober, if you're a sober person. It's going to be, I'm sure it's going to be a very subtle New Year's for everyone, obviously. It's weird because it reminds me that my wife and I spent New Year's Eve last year in New York City at Times Square, like on the roof of a hotel at Times Square. You know, we weren't down there with the people wearing diapers. No. But you know, it's just no big deal, we thought at the time. And depending on how all this shit turns out and when they actually allow people to go back to Times Square, it may become more and more special, to the point, one of those stories that, like, we were at the last Times Square's New Year's Eve ball dropping, whatever the fuck. Ooh, status. I don't know. It might make for a story, but we'll see what happens, won't we? I don't know. Keep in touch. Make sure you keep in touch with people that you care about. Maintain your recovery. Whatever you're doing, if it's working, just keep doing it. Don't think too much of it. Don't make a big deal out of it. That's the whole thing about New Year's. Is making a big deal. It's funny to me is I've mentioned this before that New Year's Eve was never really a big drinking day for me, even as a drunk, as a professional drunk. It was actually, we considered that me and my bar fly crew. Yeah. There was a pack of us. But there was like two or three other guys that I knew that felt the same way as I did, which is St. Patrick's Day and New Year's Eve, we actually avoided bars. We actually hated, the tourists. So, like, we celebrated the day after. Like, New Year's Day was a great day to drink because there was nobody out. The day after St. Patrick's Day is a great day to go out. It's real quiet. because of that mentality, even when I got sober, like those days were never triggering for me because I never liked them anyway. But that's not the case for everybody I know. But for big events, it's just, you know, when you treat it like it's a normal day, trying not to make it such a big deal, you know, just thinking about it, that's the best way to approach it is just it's just because it's just another day. It's all in your head. Speaking of all in your head, I really lost my shit yesterday. Because there was this Yahoo. I don't know. He's just some schmuck that lives in the apartment complex next to, you know, like across the parking lot from my apartment complex. And he was out at the picnic areas, which are cemented, like there's cement, like a block. I mean, like a little small grid with the two picnic tables and a grill. And he's attempting from a distance. We can't really tell what he's doing from the third story porch area, you know, in front of my apartment. But we were just kind of trying to watch him through the trees, and it looks like he's just lighting garbage on fire, like he's trying to start a fire on the ground, like on the cement in front of the picnic table. Like, I don't know if he's trying to start a campfire or what, but it's centralized. It's almost like a little, like he's doing it in a can. I can't tell. He's like a little on the ground. He's not doing it in the barbecue pit. He's doing it on the ground. And I found that, it's like, well, let people do what they, you know, if they want to lose their shit, if they're that bored and they want to lose their shit. And this is what this guy thinks of as, you know, hey, it's Sunday night. Let me light some trash on fire. Let him, except that around where the picnic tables are, it's all like dead grass. It's kind of dried out because it hasn't rained in a few days. So I'm kind of concerned because this guy doesn't look like he's very smart. And, you know, who knows? He might be unstable. But I don't like to call, you know, I don't want to call 911 because he's just lighting a little small thing. So luckily there's the security. We have security guards that patrol the apartment complexes, theoretically. I never see them. I've complained about, like, hey, we see the tow truck guys that come through who tow anybody that doesn't have a tag on their car. Like, they come by almost every other hour during a pandemic. Like, this year, also, the apartment complexes aren't full. So, like, the parking lots are always half full, and yet we still have these fucking tow truck vultures who will tow anybody. You know, and it's like, why not? Is there any way we could just make the tow truck drivers the security? Like, while they're around trying to, you know, feed off of human misery, they could also go, hey, maybe don't light things on fire. But no, we have a security, you know, a security guard company, security company that, you know, I call them. I'm like, hey, there's this guy lighting shit on fire, trying to start a, you know, I don't know, a trash fire at his feet. And, you know, maybe send a car by, and they're like, you should call the fire department. I'm not going to call an entire fire truck for a guy lighting one little thing and it's not going anywhere, because it's not doing anything. The guy's also unsuccessfully trying to light something. He's inept, which is, it's a cause, but I'm not, I honestly don't want to deal with the noise of the fire truck. I don't want to waste a fire truck full of firefighters' time with one a-hole who's lighting a piece of paper. And I figured, well, the security guard will just come by, which he did 45 minutes later. 45 minutes. Excellent response time for a man with a flashlight and not a lot to do. But the thing is that after all that, because I kept my eye on him, and I was like, what the fuck is this guy doing? And after the security guy came by, the guy continued to try to light this thing that he was trying to light, but he did it in the barbecue pit, which you would think would have been the first logical, oh, this is where. So the security guard went over there and talked to him for a second, and the guy, whatever he was doing, just moved it to the barbecue pit, which I guess that's better. Burning trash will still float from a barbecue, like, little grill, one of those grills. It's still gonna light dead grass. You know, it's not meant for that. You're supposed to, you know, the whole point of that grill is it's got that top grill and then the coals underneath. Turns out, you know, I went by there this morning when I was walking the dog, and it turns out what this guy was trying to light was one of those logs that you start a campfire with, or in a fireplace. It's a starter log. He's trying to light a starter log the whole time. Just the starter log. He didn't have anything else. He was just going to light the starter log. And the whole thing was, I wanted to go down there and tell him to stop doing the shit, because whatever he was lighting and trying to do was just, you know, it was just stinking up the apartment complex. And my wife goes, don't go talk to him. Let the security guard go talk to him. He might be crazy and unstable. Turns out, no, he was just a dipshit. He was not crazy. He was not an asshole. He was just dumb. So, I don't know why I chose to, I don't know. But, you know, but I think in the long run, you know, it might have made me feel better to go over there and go, hey, stop doing that. You know, like, rolled up a a newspaper and swatted him on the nose. Like, it, that might have made me feel better, but I guess in the long run, I guess it turns out my wife was correct. I didn't have to go over there. You just let the dumb lose interest and continue to be, inept. But I don't know. I really wanted to go over there. I'm like, I'll take the pepper spray. I don't give a fuck. I just want to tell him, hey, man, don't do that. It stinks. But anyway, it's fine. Whatever. But I think that's a good representation of how little things are really going on here. Like, in your life. Like, there's very little, globally and, as a whole, yeah. But because we're trying to be safe and everything else, there's very little going on that's high drama for me. Is like, there's a guy lighting something. I should do something. You really shouldn't. You should just go back to playing video games and watching TV. No. I should do something. You really shouldn't go over there. But I don't know if you're bored. But this, I just want to, this next segment is for people who don't hate sports. They're fine with them, but they're not following it. Maybe you're looking for something, or you're about to start following the NFL because the playoffs are coming on. Maybe you don't know what's going on in the playoffs, or maybe you're confused as to why anybody should care, because it's the most exciting season of the NFL that I can remember in forever. Especially, it's weirdly exciting, especially considering that it's almost a given that the Kansas City Chiefs are going to win the Super Bowl again. Like, it's almost a given. There's the only thing stopping them is, like, there's nobody really that's guaranteed to stop them. It's more of a, just because it's in a season, during a pandemic with no crowds, so no real crowd noise to dissuade and alter events in the game. Anybody can beat anybody. Even the fucking Jets, who have won the last two games. I mean, even that's interesting. Even the fact that the Jets, who hadn't won a game, could have, all they had to do was lose their last three games, and they would have gotten the number one draft pick. And the number one draft pick for next year is Clemson quarterback Trevor Lawrence, who is a phenomenal quarterback based on talent and his ability and how tall he is and how good he is and everything. It's like a once in many, many years type of talent that's coming in that people are like, holy shit, which, part of me kind of wants, hey, I hope he flops when he comes into the NFL just because that would be funny. But he's not going to. He's really good. So the Jets could have turned their franchise around. All they had to do was lose three games. But, people are football players. And honestly, I think Sam Darnold, who's the quarterback for the Jets, was like, yeah, I don't want to lose my job. So they kicked ass and beat, and they won the last two games against, like, good opponents and still somehow won. They beat the fucking Rams, and then they beat Cleveland. Of course, the Cleveland Browns just lost their four starting receivers on the COVID protocol list, so they weren't able to play 2 days, probably about 36 hours before the game. They just lost their receiving corps. So it's like, It's not that impressive. It's not that shitty of a thing. But that's exciting. Even shitty teams. And also, Trevor Lawrence is now going to probably go to the Jacksonville Jaguars, which means Gardner Minshew needs to find a new home. Gardner Minshew II, who has the best look and name of any quarterback in the NFL, with the exception of maybe Ryan Fitzpatrick, who, by the way, made a no-look pass, not by design and not by his intention, because he was getting face-masked by the Raiders this last Sunday and threw a pass while getting face-masked, and it was fantastic. And he made it, and the penalty allowed them to move up into field goal range and kick a field goal and win the game with like 2 seconds remaining. So that was just this week. Here's the thing: what you need to know about the NFL. You're like, why should I care? This is why you should care, because it's fucking crazy. There has only been one, there's only been one team with a losing season, a losing record, who's made the playoffs. And that was the 2010 Seattle Seahawks, were 7-9. And they got into the wild card game. And this is the first team with a losing season to get into the playoffs for the NFL. And they beat the Saints. I remember the game. They beat the Saints, who were 11-5. So they actually got into the wild card and beat a top-seeded New Orleans Saints team. And I remember that game because it was the last football game I saw before I went to rehab. it's true. That was the one. So, 2011, January 2011. Anyway, so they haven't had you don't make the playoffs with a losing season, except that you do if you're in the NFC East. That's just a crazy, the Washington football team and the Dallas Cowboys are 6-9. The New York Giants are 5-10. And the Eagles were in contention, except that Dallas beat them yesterday. They're 4-9-1. 4-10-1? They're 4-10-1. It's just god awful. And yet they're all competing because one of them has to go to the playoffs. One of the teams is going to win the division, and we don't know who the fuck will. It's like, who's going to be worse? This will determine who the quote unquote winner will be. And just that alone, watching Washington versus Dallas next week is going to be interesting. It's Washington versus the Eagles. So Dallas is going to play the Giants. And the thing is that if Washington beats the Eagles, they go on. If the Dallas wins, they move on. But Washington has to lose. It's so confusing. If both Washington and Dallas lose, then the Giants move on because they have like tiebreakers. And if that happens, they'll all be 6-10. Imagine going to the playoffs with 6 wins and 10 losses in the NFC. The AFC, there's going to be a team that has 10 wins that won't make the playoffs, because that's the other thing about week 17 is it's going to determine who, that there's only going to be 4 teams out of the Ravens, the Colts, the Browns, the Titans, and the Dolphins. Those are 5 teams. Only 4 of them are going to make the playoffs, and we don't know which 4. We're going to find out next week depending on the combination of games. Also, we're going to determine next week whether the Arizona Cardinals or the Bears make the playoffs for the NFC, and somehow the Chicago Bears are still in it. And I'm a Chicago fan, and somehow, when we thought we were done with Mitchell Trubisky, He's like, we're like in some kind of, Chicago fans are like in some kind of abusive relationship with Mitchell Trubisky, where it's like, is this deadbeat guy you're dating who you think you're going to break up with him? And he's like, no, baby, no, come on. Come on, we've had some good times. I can change. I can totally change. Look how I run. Look, I can throw the ball, kind of. I can throw the ball to receivers who will catch it, sort of. For the majority of the game, we won. Look, we won. I know we lost 5 in a row, but I can change. And somehow we're still stuck with him. And he might get us to the playoffs. And it's like, well, you can't fire, can't get rid of him and get a new quarterback. I mean, it's either this guy or worse. And it's like, oh, it's an interesting time. The games are in. It's so interesting. It's got me rooting for the coach and the quarterback of the Miami Dolphins. I don't like Florida. I hate Miami. I don't like the colors of the Dolphins, but I like their quarterbacks. Tua Tagovailoa is like the starting quarterback, and you know, Fitzmagic, it's a backup quarterback who's like a relief pitcher who comes in if Tua's not playing up to speed, because you know he's a rookie, he's new. They bring in the closer, and what you miss this year is that the Houston Texans, their coach and general manager Bill O'Brien, traded for two different people, traded away all these picks and stuff, gave away their DeAndre Hopkins to the Cardinals and went, oh, that was a good call. Who'd we get? David Johnson. Is he still playing? And then he traded away his picks and then had such a shitty losing season that they're going to get a top 5 first round draft pick. And that goes directly to the fucking Dolphins, who are probably going to go to the playoffs. So the Dolphins are legit. It's interesting to watch. Now, all I'm saying is there's a bunch of shit going on in the NFL. Next week is crazy. I didn't even touch the fact that there are two quarterbacks that are almost as old as me. Tom Brady is no longer with the Patriots. He's with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, which is crazy enough, but they're going to make the playoffs. They made the playoffs. They may be one and done, but he's killing it over there. And he's what? He's 3 years younger than me, which is insulting. And Drew Brees is doing great, except that he got hurt and he had 14 cracked ribs. 14. I didn't know he had 14 ribs, but he had 14 cracked ribs, and he's back to playing again somehow. And he's 40 something. It's nuts. I didn't even bring up Aaron Rodgers, who's playing the best football of his career somehow. Like, he got all zen and shit, and he's amazing to watch. I've wasted 10 to 15 minutes to try to convince you, look, next week is week 17. After New Year's, when you're hungover, you're like, what the fuck am I going to watch? Sleep it off. And then the next day on Sunday, week 17 is an important week, and you get to watch the playoffs. So I recommend, before you shift over to start watching the NBA and being bored over there or any other sport, you know, dial in, you know, because you're kind of waiting it out. There's not a whole lot going on in January. The holidays are over. It's football playoffs. It'll give you something to do. Occupy your brain. I say all of this not because of the NFL, because I love the NFL, but I recommend occupying your brain with something for the new year. Give yourself something to do. Give yourself another hobby. You got to find something to do, because it sucks out there. If you really focus, if you're really paying attention to everything, it can really suck. Like, just the idea that the quarterback for the Washington football team, and I'm not even going to go into them changing their name or trying to come up with a new name or any of that stuff. But just the idea that Alex Smith, who was a quarterback for Washington, got so injured and then got an infection in his leg when he broke his leg that he almost died. He had 17 surgeries and he was going, and he almost died. And he had 17 surgeries and 2 years later, somehow has become the starting quarterback once again for Washington and has a chance next Sunday to make the playoffs, even with a shitty schedule. Just the comeback player of the decade, of the year, of like forever. Just that alone is inspiring. It gives you something to pay attention to. As opposed to politics, as opposed to something that doesn't affect you, you know, it's you've got to find a balance of something to keep your attention. Because it's weird to me that we pay so close attention to to parts of politics that are really just like tweets of politicians and things that don't affect you when, you know, right now, not a single person listening to me can probably off the top of their head without Googling name one city council member of the place that you live. Do you know the name of any city council? I don't. I barely know our mayor's name. I just know he's an a-hole. It's just, you have to have a healthy, for the new year, that's something. You got to occupy yourself with something because that's how you're going to get through. I know it's something that I bring up almost every podcast is like, hey, stay off of social media. Kids, stay off of Twitter. Fuck Twitter. If there's one theme that I could fit on, social media is shitty. But really, you know, boredom is a killer. And you've got to find something to occupy yourself that won't poison your brain. And my suggestion is football. Or if not football, even though I talked about it for 12 to 15 minutes, find something, find your football. Well, politics is my football. Well, find something else. you know what? I'll say this. For me to talk that much about football and about a guy who couldn't light something on fire properly and a Netflix special tells you one thing. I've had a pretty good week. I've actually had a pretty good year, but I've had a good week. I'm in an emotionally good place. I feel fine. You know, I'm mentally and emotionally stable, and that's promising. That's good. 'Cause I was not in this spot 10 years ago. It's a 10-year anniversary of my lowest time in my life. So for me to be able to just bullshit about this that most of you do not give a shit about, but that you're still here listening to me, it's a good spot. It's a good spot to be in. Happy 10-year anniversary of me being at my worst. 'Cause I'm doing all right. And I hope you're gonna be doing all right too. We'll talk about it being a brand new year next week. We'll deal with that. I just had to focus on football, I think, for some reason, because that's what's on my brain. But anyway, thanks for joining me. This has been the Yes, I'm Still Sober podcast. I am still sober, by the way. I'm John Raven. We'll see you next week. Later. Bad for the piercer skin. Come back down the earth.